Muy buenas noches, un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín, allá en Torreón, México, la congregación que pasó.
Good evening. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín over there in Torreón, Mexico, the congregation that the Reverend Jesús Antonio Galicias Valenzuela pastors. All the brethren gathered there and also ministers in different places, brothers and sisters, and also those who are listening to us through the internet and the satellite Amazonas today, Friday, November 17th of this year, 2023. The subject we have for tonight is the proclamation of the great voice of trumpet, preached on September 13, 2015, by Dr. William Soto Santiago in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. And he used the scripture of Matthew 24, verse 27 to 31. And let us read, let us search in the Gospel according to Luke, in chapter 21, verse 34 and on, where he tells us, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeitings and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare," and he writes, "net, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." And he writes, in a new covenant, the proclamation of the great voice of trumpet. You may please be seated. In the message, the seventh seal and the God's mercy for the last time, preached on Thursday, April 16, 1998, in San Marcos, Texas, United States, he tells us, "Now, we can see that no one will be able to understand that mystery of the second coming of Christ except the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom that revelation comes from Christ to make it known to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ will be in his angel messenger manifested in Holy Spirit, as he was in the seventh angel messengers, and now he will be in his angel messenger, who is a dispensational prophet, sent to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the first occasion in which Jesus Christ sends a dispensational prophet to his church. If they were not able to understand the messengers of the seven Gentile church ages, who were messengers, some of them prophets, but none of them a dispensational prophet, but a prophet of an age. Now, how will it be when Jesus Christ sends a dispensational prophet, the prophet of the seventh dispensation, of the dispensation of the kingdom, with a dispensational message, with the message of the gospel of the kingdom? What will happen?" Brother William asked there. Now, notice in the message, the rapture. On page 15, he tells us, God said it would be there. It's that portion of the word, and no more could you put that out. And then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? It's the revelation of the manifestation of the word made true. And we're living in that day. Praise be to God. The revelation of the mystery of himself. Now, this rapture that we're talking about is only for the bride. Remember, the Bible said, "And the rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years. This great rapture. If there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? What are we going to do? What age are we living in? What promise do we have? There is going to be a rapture. The Bible says there will be, and it will be only for the elect. The elect lady, the bride in this day, that's pulled out, the church. The very word church means called out of. As Moses called a nation out of a nation, the Holy Spirit is calling a bride out of a church. A church out of a church. Members from every denomination making up a bride. Bride 3 is the one that's going to be in the rapture, that alone, nothing but the bride. The elected ones foreknown by God from the beginning. And he writes, the bride is formed by members of all the denominations. Now, we were reading some portions and seeing on these days, from Thursday to today, those two lines. Notice, the line of Rehoboam, son of Solomon, and the line of Jeroboam, who was given the 10 northern tribes. Now notice that since Jeroboam did not do as God told him through, let us read there that portion where the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him on the way, where he had a new garment. And notice he tore that garment into 12 pieces and gave him 10 pieces, which are the 10 northern tribes. In other words, he gave him charge of the house of Joseph that is represented in Ephraim, and the northern tribes called the kingdom of Israel. And notice that there he told him everything that he had to do. Notice in chapter 11, verse 30, it is from verse 26, but let us read from 38, this portion here. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. And there he writes, dynasty will be adopted. That is, his dynasty would be adopted if he did according to David. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt, unto Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt unto the death of Solomon. But notice, what Jeroboam did was the opposite. And in chapter 13, verse 33, notice there where it tells us, after this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people, priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became seen into the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off, and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. And there he writes, upon the northern kingdom, his dynasty was not adopted. Notice, that dynasty was not adopted because of idolatry. Now notice that, as we draw that drawing, and we saw that angle in which we saw the line of the golden calf. And on the other hand, we saw the line of Judah, which was the one through which the Messiah came in His first coming. But notice that God turned to the Gentiles there, because the Hebrews rejected the first coming of the Lord. And He turned to the Gentiles. And from among the Gentiles, He has been seeking, notice, seeking a people for His name. Remember that there, the line of the birthright was being passed to Ephraim, the youngest one. And the birthright blessing on Calvary's cross, with the cross, notice, there He passed that blessing over to the Gentiles, of whom Jesus says there in Matthew, let us see, on the 15th chapter, verse 24, but He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, in Matthew 10, on the 10th chapter, 6th verse, He had given some instructions there. Look, because He says, in the 10th chapter, 5th verse of Matthew, He says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now notice, by them rejecting the fulfillment of the first coming of the Lord, there in His work of redemption, there He, through the cross, passes then the blessing to the Gentiles. And from age to age, notice, God sends His messenger. But remember that it is within that whole people of nations, peoples and tongues, that is, in that whole trajectory, during the dispensation of grace, He has been sending messengers in each age. And He is calling and gathering together, taking out of each territory where God sent His messenger, placing the chosen ones that belong to that age. And that is how it started with the apostles. Notice, since the day of Pentecost until now, all those who were commanded to eternal life were called. Now remember that out of that people, out of that group of the Gentiles, where the birthright blessing is, the bride is taken out. Bride which is formed, as we read in the message, the rapture, which is taken out of each age. In other words, in each age, those who make up that age are called in that territory. And likewise, in each age, God passes by through His messenger. The Holy Spirit goes up from age to age and reaches the end time, where those belonging to the mystical body of believers of the most holy place of that spiritual temple are placed in the age of the cornerstone. And through the line of Judah, God sends that root and offspring of David, which comes through the line of Judah, and through one line comes the fulfillment of the Messiah, and through the other line comes the blessing. Notice, the blessing of the birthright. And the scepter becomes one there in the hand of the prophet. In other words, that title deed where the names are written there, and at the end time, he comes with the title deed in his hand. He comes down with the book open and does and carries out the claiming work. Now notice how those two lines come together in this end time. And there is where the I Am that was in the Old Testament, speaking there to Moses, when he was told, now I will go there and they will ask me, who sent me? What shall I tell them? And he said to him, I Am. I Am has sent me to you. Now notice that something very important here. Because Moses places the name to the one who is going to bring the people into the promised land. A descendant of Ephraim. And Joshua, which is also means Redeemer, Savior, he brings them into the promised land. But notice that God then comes and places the name of redemption in a descendant of Judah. He placed it in Jesus. There you see those two lines, having the name of God. Now notice that in all of that, God has been opening up to us such a great mystery, where the I Am of the Old Testament has been working with both lines. And at the end, that I Am, once again, is incarnate. For it says in the book of the seals on page 303, but when our Lord appears here on earth, he will come upon a rider. Let us see it. On page 303. But when our Lord appears here on earth, he'll be riding on a snow white horse, and he'll be completely, fully the Emmanuel, the Word of God incarnate in a man. And the Word incarnate there in the time of the first coming of the Lord had a name, Jesus. Now, in his second coming, the Word, the I Am, is incarnate again. YHWH. Now, notice here what he continues to tell us. Notice on page 15 in the message, the rapture. But notice, look, each one of you people, do you know years before you were born, you were in your father's as a gene? That's right. A germ, a seed, was in your father. Comes from the male sex, not the female, see? Female finishes the egg and bedding ground. But the germ comes from the father. Or, my son sitting here, when I was 16 years old, my son was in me. I didn't know him, but he was there. Now, through a bedding ground, through holy wedlock, he become in the image of me. And he writes, the manifested Son comes through marriage. I know him. I can fellowship with him. And he come just at the time when it's the right time. Now, so were you in. If you've got eternal life, you were in God before there ever was a world. You are a part, a son of God, an attribute of God. He knowed the very age you were coming. He predestinated you to that age, to take that place, and no one else can take it. Care how many impersonations and things, you've got to be there, because he knew you would be there. Now, you are made manifest. Now you can fellowship with him, and that's what he wants. He's longing for fellowship, to be worshipped. But if your life always was as an attribute in God, you're just a mimic of Christianity. Notice, if you have not always existed, that is, in eternity, as an attribute of God, then you're just a mimic of a Christian life. See? There'll be millions and billions of them. They'll just be a mimics of Christianity. And there he writes, you are a child of God, a gene, an attribute. A remark that I made just recently. I was watching Brother Demas Shakarian over there when they was having high-breeding cattle. Watch the test tubes and so forth being taken in by doctors and watching these things. In the literal discharge of the male, there's somewhat a million germs come forth from the male at each time, and somewhat a million eggs come from the female at the same time. But did you know, in all them little germs moving around, a million of them, there is only one of them ordained to life, and there's only one egg fertile, and that little germ will crawl right up through every one of them other little germs, right over the top of every little germ looking just like him, and come over the top of that and come over here and find that fertile egg and crawl into it. And then all the rest of them die. Why? Talk about the virgin birth. Oh, it's not half as mystery as physical birth. And he writes, physical birth is mysterious. How is foreordained, predestinated by God? Now, in the beginning, way back, way years ago before there was a time began, you, if you are a born-again Christian tonight, you were in God then, your father. That's why when you come into this life here and profess Christianity, well, everything's going wrong. You've wondered why this is and all this. You wondered at it, but one day something struck you. What was it? That life that was down in there from the beginning. Like my little story about the eagle finding it. Its mother finding the eagle. You've heard me preach on that. How that little eagle was hatched under a hen. But she, her habits of trying to feed them, the chicken, the little eagle couldn't stomach it. Because he wasn't a chicken to begin with. Yet, he was in the pen with the chicken. And followed the chicken. But she would scratch in the barnyard and things, and the little eagle couldn't stand it. But every time she would cluck and everything, all the little chicken go, so he would go too. But one day, his mother knew that she had laid two eggs, not one. There had to be another one somewhere. She went to hunt it, flying around, circling. Finally, she come over the barnyard and she found her baby. And she screamed to him. It was a voice that he realized that that's the thing that fit. That was what he was looking for, see? And he realized then. Notice, that is what the Hebrew people will also say. This is what we are waiting for. And the Gentiles, among the Gentile people, have also said the same thing. This is what I was waiting for. I recognize that voice by what it says, by what it brings. That's what I needed. And he realized that he wasn't a chicken. He was an eagle. And that's the way every born-again Christian, when you come. I don't care how many denominations you join, how many names you put your names on the books and things, when that real Word of God is vindicated and made through before you like that, you realize you're an eagle right there. Because all this clocking of the hen, you join this and join this and go this way and that way, it's nonsense. It's a genuine adding word to word. When a germ comes into the womb of the female, you didn't become a human germ from your father, and then the next thing you become a germ from a dog, and the next thing from a cat, the next thing from a chicken. It was all human germ. And the body of Jesus Christ, the bride, will be part of his body, which he was the Word. And the bride will have to be the Word. Word added to the Word. Add to Word. Luther's justification. Wesley's sanctification. Pentecostal's baptism of the Holy Spirit. Restoration of the gifts. And all the rest of it goes with it, see? It's got to be Word on top of Word. Germ on top of germ, life on top of life, to bring out the full stature of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes, when you see the Word. Now remember, you was an attribute. And now the thing of it is, after we find out these things, that Christ is coming for his bride. Now, how do we get into that bride? That's the question. Many say, join our congregation. One of them wants a certain type of baptism. One wants to do this or that. One said, you must speak with tongues or you haven't got it. The other one said, you don't have to speak with tongues. This one says, you must dance in the Spirit. This says, you must shout. This got a sensation. It's all right. And then still, it's all wrong. How could a man or a woman or a child of God that's born of the Spirit of God deny the Word of God when God himself interpreted and say, this is it. I promised it. Here it is. Showing it just as plain as I can. Why, they're bound to see it, see? How could Christ deny his own Word? And if Christ is in you, he cannot deny his own Word. Then, how do we get into this body? 1 Corinthians 12. By one Spirit we're all baptized into this body by one Holy Spirit baptism. That if you want to put that down, it's 1 Corinthians 12:13. And by one Spirit we are all baptized. And the Spirit, and he writes the theophany, in the life of Christ, there he draws the cornerstone and the ages. Is that right? The life of Christ and the life of any seed. He was the Word seed. Bring the seed to life. You get it? If that life is laying in the seed and this baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon it, it's bound to bring that seed life. Now notice what our brother William continues to say here. He says, but it doesn't matter that some don't understand it. It doesn't matter that some cannot believe in him and in his message. Yet, Jesus Christ will be with him and in him, manifested in the midst of his church, giving his church the message of the gospel of the kingdom, which is the last trumpet or great voice of the trumpet of the gospel of the kingdom, with which all these mysteries pertaining to the last day are open and made known to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. so that his church obtains the faith to be transformed and raptured in the last day. Also in the message, the rapture, he also tells us on page 21, he says, Jesus, when he started out, he started healing the sick and afflicted. Oh, that great rabbi, he is a prophet. Everybody wanted him in his church. But when he sat down one day and said, I and my Father are one, that was different. Notice, and he also told them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. John chapter 6, verse 53. In the book of quotations, there is an excerpt of a message that tells us about this, which we have read. It is on page or paragraph 10. So you can have it there that goes along with this one. Page 122, paragraph 1094. Why? He's a vampire. See? See? That was different. He didn't explain it. They had already seen the manifestation, the vindication of the Word of God for his age, made real and proved to be them that he was the messenger of that age. And he didn't have to explain nothing. Those disciples might not have been able to explain it, but they believed it. Whether they could explain it or not, they sit right still and believe it. How could they tell if they was going to eat his flesh and drink his blood? Why? It was something impossible for them to do it. But they believed it, because they were ordained. Jesus said he chose them before the foundation of the world. Because remember what we read, they were attributes of God. See, they believed it, whether they could explain it or not. They still believed it. And he writes, to believe even if you don't understand it. Let us turn to page 22. He continues saying, now watch, now, in the seventh church age, when the seventh angel began to sound, the mysteries of God was to be made known right there, the seals. That the reformers, they had time. Luther didn't live long enough, neither did Wesley. The ages didn't live long enough, the reformers. They had their message of that day, and the people grasped it and denominated it. What is it? Now remember, in each age, the messenger left. God called the messenger, which we were speaking about a few minutes ago. God took the messenger. He took his group, gathered his group, the messenger left, and they denominationalized. And what is it? You can't never beat nature. Nature always testifies. God runs in continuity with nature. It has to. Like the sun. The sun rises in the morning, it's a little baby born. It's weak and got much heat to it. 10 o'clock, it's coming out of high school. Middle of the day, it's entering into life. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's getting old. 5 o'clock, it's dying. Old and weak again, going back to the grave. Is that the end of it? It rises again. The next morning, see? Look at the trees. How they put forth their leaves, everything that they do. Now we find out the leaves drop off the tree, go back. What? The life goes down to the root of the tree. Is that the end of it? Comes back next spring with new life. Now watch the churches, how it's done the same thing in the Reformation. It comes up. That corn of wheat fell in the ground and died under the Dark Age persecution. It went into the ground. It had to die. Any man, spiritual, can see that. That lest that seed died and rot, it abides alone. John 12:24. where it says, except the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And it had to go into the ground under the dark age. It lay there rotted, and come forth in two little blades of the Lutheran Church. Out of the Lutheran Church brought off more blades, Zwingli and so forth. From that come on up into the tassel, which was John Wesley, the great missionary age. It dropped back. Out of there came that deceiving age, that Pentecostal age, the corn of the wheat. See how he calls it? The deceiving age. Anybody ever here ever raise any wheat? You look at that wheat when you look at it. When you got out there, say, I've got wheat. You look like you got a wheat there. Open it up real close and watch. You haven't got no wheat at all. You got a shuck. Didn't Jesus warn us that in Matthew 24:22, in the last days that the two spirits would be so close together it could deceive the elect wheat itself if it was possible? See? Now watch. It's a carrier. Now, the life that came up through Luther was what made Wesley. The life that come out of Wesley is what made Pentecost. The life that comes out of Pentecost makes the wheat. But they are carriers. See? The real life goes through there. The message goes through, but it's heading on up into the wheat. That's the reason the wheat comes up and brings the whole thing in the rapture. Up here at the top, the bride itself comes out of each age, but the denominational stock dies. There he writes, he draws a cornerstone in the ages, where it says, and there is ready for the rapture. He draws a cornerstone in the ages, and he writes, the corn of wheat. I turn to page 23, but the denominational stock dies, dries up and dies. Have you noticed these last days how it's begin to pull away now? When that wheat begins to grow, then the shuck begins to get away from it. Look back in that little wheat when you look at it. Pull it open like this and look into it and see. You got a little bud of wheat back there. You have to take a 30-power scope to look into it, to see the little bud of wheat back there, see? It's way back in there, but it starts growing. Now, that shuck has to be there to shelter that, to give it a chance to get out. But when it begins to grow and the message begins to spread, then the shuck pulls away from it, and the life goes right out, that shuck, right into the wheat, goes on. That's the way each age done. Just can't beat nature. That's God's continuity, the way He does things. And now, that's the age that we are living in right now, the seventh church age. Now, it's all to be manifested in the grain of wheat at the end, another comeback. Now, if you take Luke, the 17th chapter and the 30th verse, he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man begin to reveal Himself. Luke 17:30. What is reveal? Make His revelation of what He is in this day. Reveal out of the people the word that's made known for the day. And he writes, to make known. Reveal to the people by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, making that Jesus live among us. He continues saying there, in this message we are reading of our brother William, the seventh seal and God's mercy for the last time. He continues to say that ministry in its fourth manifestation comes in human flesh, in a man named Reverend William Branham, and he came and brought the message with which he foreran the second coming of Christ. He says, this message will introduce Christ to the world. He says that the message foreruns the second coming of Christ. And he says that the Messiah will present himself. And we have that there in the book of quotations, in that portion, where he tells us on page 59, paragraph 519, in Malachi, the fourth chapter, in Revelation also, the third chapter, tells us that he will be here in the last days. That same one that will stand in the breach for the people with a little flock that God will give him. He will come in the last days. God says so. He will be a sign to this Gentile nation that her time is no more. And remember, when he appears on the scene, the time is at hand. Let's pray for God to send him. Time is at hand. As soon as his ministry was finished, Messiah showed himself. As soon as this great one will come in the last days, will finish his ministry, the Messiah will show himself. And there is where he writes, when he finishes his ministry, the Messiah appears. He will present himself. And above he writes, the Messiah will come. He stands in the gap. The prophet equals the sign. And our brother William continues saying, the Messiah will come according to the message of Elijah in its fourth manifestation. That is that the fulfillment of the second coming of Christ will be according to how the forerunner of the second coming of Christ said that the Lord will come at the last day in the fulfillment of the seventh seal. John the Baptist, forerunning the first coming of Christ, said, by seeing Jesus and pointing out at Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Because in the first coming of Christ, he was the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world by dying on Calvary's cross. And the second coming of Christ is as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords in his claiming work. And now, what will the coming of the Son of Man be with his angels? What will the coming of the Lord be at the last day? It will be the coming of the mighty angel that comes down from heaven in Revelation chapter 10, who comes with his face like the sun, his eyes as a flame of fire, his feet like pillars of fire, and he brings in his hand a little book open, which is in the book of the seven seals that he took in Revelation chapter 5, and opened in heaven in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and on. And let us see verse 1 to 17, and also in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, where he opened the seventh seal. And further on this same message, he tells us, the word of God incarnate in a man will be the fulfillment of Revelation 19. It will be the fulfillment of the coming of the white horse rider of Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 21. And we had read on page 369 that the Word will come made flesh under the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Where the ministries of Moses and Elijah are manifested in human flesh, there is where the Word will be, the white horse rider of Revelation 19. Jesus Christ in Holy Spirit will be there manifested in human flesh at the last day. Now, we have seen how the Word will come incarnate in a man at the last day. He will come manifesting the ministries of Moses and Elijah and Jesus. That is why the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet are the coming of the Lord. The seventh seal is the coming of the Lord for His Gentile church. And the seventh trumpet to the Hebrew people is the coming of the Lord. And it says, it shall sound, said the forerunner of the second coming of Christ. It shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is, it will sound, it will give the message, he says, at the last trumpet. Now notice, it shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Page 47 in the book of quotations, it says on verse 402. Let us open it up. On verse 402 on page 47, it says, he reads that portion there. For we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord down here, shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. Them precious ones that sealed their blood, sealed their testimony with their blood, not prevent or hinder those that are asleep. For the trumpet will sound, something will take place, the gospel something will sound. And above there he writes, the gospel of the kingdom, the announcing of his coming, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be changed, standing, and feel a change come on, the gray hair go out, the wrinkles fall away, be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall meet our loved ones first. And there in the book of quotation he writes, the announcing of the coming will sound, the trumpet of God, the resurrection, and the transformation. And after our brother William finishes reading that portion there, he continues to say, we have seen that that gospel something that will sound, that trumpet, a great voice of the trumpet that will sound, is the great voice of the trumpet of the gospel of the kingdom, making known, announcing the second coming of Christ, revealing the mystery of the second coming of Christ. In the message, Shalom, the one he preached on January 19, 1964, tells us on page 42 to 43, it says, what did he do during these years? He showed types of him coming, and he draws a cornerstone and the ages. He showed in Joseph, if you look at Joseph's life, and he writes, Joseph, hated of his brothers, loved of his father. Why? Because he was spiritual, because he saw visions. The rest of them didn't see visions. They were patriarchs, but they did not see visions, interpret dreams. But they were jealous of him. And he was sold almost for 30 pieces of silver, raised up out of the ditch where he was supposed to be killed, set at the right hand of Pharaoh. And when he left the throne, the trumpet sounded, bow the knee, Joseph is coming. And he writes, the trumpet. And he writes, Joseph. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Just exactly what Jesus was done, sits at the right hand of God. And when he leaves the throne, the trumpets will sound, and every knee shall bow and confess to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Exactly. And there on the front he writes, let us see this writing here. Or inside on the backside, he writes, Joseph equals Jesus. And it also tells us in the message, the masterpiece, on page 18, it says, it tells us, notice, he was sold for almost 30 pieces of silver, thrown into a ditch, and supposedly be dead, but was took up from the ditch. And in his time of temptation in the prison, the butler and the baker. We know that the butler was saved and the baker was lost. And in Christ's prison house on the cross, one was saved and the other one was lost. Two thieves, two wrongdoers. And we notice he was taken from his prison to the right hand of Pharaoh, that no man could speak to Pharaoh, only through Joseph. And when Joseph left that throne of Pharaoh, and the trumpet sounded throughout Egypt, the blast went forth and said, bow the knee, everybody, Joseph is coming forth. And he writes to the left, the great trumpet, and at the right he writes, when Joseph left that throne, there he writes, Joseph. So will it be with Jesus, how he was loved of the Father and hated of the denomination of brethren, without a cause. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver, as it was, and put into the dish, supposedly to be dead. on the cross, one lost and the other one saved, and was lifted up from the cross and sat at the right hand of God in the majesty, the great spirit, which had been reflected in him. And no man can speak to God only through Jesus Christ. Think of it. And on the right at the top, he writes, the great trumpet, the coming of the Lord. And when he leaves that throne, starts forth, the trumpet will sound. Notice, when does the trumpet sound? When he leaves the throne of intercession. There is when that trumpet sounds. And when he leaves that throne, starts forth, the trumpet will sound, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Remember, he was the son of prosperity. Everything that he did prospered. Whether it was prison or wherever it was, it came out right. And hasn't he promised for his children that he'd make everything work together for the good? Whether it was sickness, prison house, death, sorrows, whatever it was, that it would work for the good to them that loved him? He promised it, and it must be so. It's got to be there. Now notice. Everything. My brethren who are listening to me. Everything. Not some things. Not this, yes, and that, no. This, let me see, and this could work for good altogether. No, brother. We have been told that everything would work together for good. Whether it was sickness, prison house, death, sorrow, whatever it was, that it would work for the good to them that loved him. He promised it, and it must be so. It's got to be there. It's figurative, spoke to us in him. He was that perfect image of God. Now, we see here also that when he comes again, remember, Joseph, by revelation, saved the world by his great prophecy. On the right hand, he writes, Joseph. And on the left, he writes, Joseph saved the world. The world would have died if it hadn't have been for Joseph. And the world would been dead if it hadn't have been for Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. God is reserving life. On and on we could go, because he was simply the match of David. He was the match of Moses. He was the match of Elijah. He was the match of Joseph. Everything is a portrayed or foretold by him in the Old Testament. Match right into that. What is it? Showing a perfect Redeemer that we could put in that part where he says showing, he writes, the claim, showing a perfect Redeemer, that we could put our old dirty clothes, and he writes, body, into the laundry, go claim it again. It's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We can claim what's our own. And again on the side, he writes, on the left side, claim, and everything that he died for, we can claim it. So, he was the perfect word portrayed. Now, he continues telling us, in this message that we are reading of the seventh seal and God's mercy for the last time, our brother William continues saying. It also says on page 149 in the book of quotations, verse 1333. And have it open there. On page 149, paragraph 1333. Remember that they which are alive and remain shall not hinder those which are sleeping. For the trump of God, that last trumpet, the sixth one has just sounded. And that last trumpet, like the last seal, will be the coming of the Lord. It shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Just rest until that time. That is the scripture that he reads there. And he writes, there in the book of quotations, he writes, the resurrection to Israel, the last trumpet, and the last seal. Last seal to Gentiles. In other words, the last trumpet on top to Israel, which is the seventh trumpet to Israel. And the last seal, which is the seventh seal to the Gentiles, equals the coming. And on the left side there on that paragraph, there he draws a Star of David, the cornerstone and the ages. Our brother William goes on to say, we have now seen the mystery of the seventh trumpet and the seventh seal. The seventh trumpet for the Hebrew people is the coming of the Lord. And the seventh seal for the Gentile church is the coming of the Lord. And further on, he tells us on this same message, it is promised that it's going to be in a fifth occasion in a man of this time. That is the ministry of Elijah in his fifth manifestation. A man anointed with that ministerial spirit, and the word will be there incarnate in a man. The word will be made flesh there, and the mercy of God will be manifested for the last time in that manifestation of the ministries of Elijah for the fifth occasion, and of Moses for the second occasion, and of Jesus for the second occasion. We see this there in the book of the seals, where our brother Branham tells us, and our brother William also writes there, on page 435, that last paragraph. But let us read only that part, it says. And they had made fun of it. Just before this, it says. They had laughed at the word, and here the word was incarnate. And they had made fun of it. Laugh at them, made fun of them, and the incarnate word had dropped forth. And he writes, in the angel of Jesus, comma, Moses and Elijah. Why didn't they repent? They couldn't. It was too far then. So they know that the punishment. They heard it. They had sat in meetings like this and know about it. And they know that the things of those prophets had predicted was looking them right in the face. The things that they had rejected. They had spurned mercy for the last time. And when you spurn mercy, there is nothing left but judgment. When you spurn mercy, just think of it. And he writes there, Moses and Elijah, he who receives his message receives mercy. And there they was. They had no place to go, no retreat. And the Bible said here, they called, cried to the rocks and mountains to fall on us and hide us from the face of, and he writes, judge, who is sitting upon the throne, and he writes, throne of David, and the wrath of the Lamb, and above he writes, lion. The one who is sitting upon, sitting, that is, the judge. Because he is the judge of the living and the dead. Now, where is he sitting? On the throne. And if he is no longer on the heavenly throne making intercession, then he is in the human throne. And he is manifested there as Son of David. Because that is the throne of David. And the wrath of the Lamb. They tried to repent, but the lamb had come to claim his own, see? And they cried to the rocks and the mountains, and he writes, kingdom and rulers. Prayed, but the prayers were too late. And he writes, there was no blood on the mercy seat. And on the side he writes, throne of David. And he also writes, acceptable prayers outside of time. And he also writes above there, with Elijah and Moses, claim. Now, look in the message. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. On page 29, it says, now we find Joseph then, that when no man could touch or come to Pharaoh without first seeing Joseph, no man can come to the Father only by the Son. And when Joseph left the throne, they sounded trumpets, every knee bowed. Joseph is coming forth. Glory! And someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess when he leaves the throne of his Father, see, to come forth. Everybody will bear witness that he is the Son of God. It is too late then. Do it now. And there he writes, Joseph equals King Lion. And our brother William continues saying, and once the work under the seventh seal for the Gentile church is carried out, of the call of the chosen ones of God at the last day, and what pertains to the last day is fulfilled for the Hebrew people, and they can see the manifestation of what was reflected in Joseph, the son of Jacob, and see that manifestation of Christ in a man of this time, they will say, this is the one we are waiting for. They will say, this is Elijah, the one who comes preparing the way of the Lord for the Hebrew people. And then they will realize that he is also Moses, and then they will realize that he is also the fulfillment of the ministry of Jesus for the second time. And in the message, the rapture, which we were reading, also tells us on page 33. It says, I thought, oh my God, one day there will come a blast, and he writes, the year of Jubilee, will come a blast from heaven. And there on one day, beside one, he draws a cornerstone. And a blast from heaven, above heaven, he writes Revelation 1:10-11, and 11:15-19. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Them Old Testament saints back yonder, and he writes of the New Testament, who are waiting, will blast forth, and come out of there first, and go into the resurrection. Will drop right in line, going into the sky. These old mortal bodies change, and make like unto his own glorious body. What a parade thou'll be when he starts heavenward. Some of these days, in that rapturing time, and he writes 7th millennium, that lays ahead. Oh, proudly displaying the blood of Jesus Christ upon their chests, the message of God in the hour that they lived in. That's the hour that we're looking forward to, brother. And he writes, there will be a trumpet blast. Look, just in closing now. First one is past. The second one is at hand right now. Will come to hand now. Now the third one is the two witnesses of Revelation 11:11-12. Which these are the ones that turn back with the Spirit of Christ to witness. And there he writes Revelation 7:2, 11:3-7, 1:10, and 4:1. To witness to the Jews, like Joseph did to his brethren. And here our brother William finishes by saying in this excerpt that we have, and they will be seeing the three great ministries that have been promised to be manifested in the last day in human flesh. They will be seeing in a man of this time, the ministry of Moses for the second time, the ministry of Elijah for the fifth time, and the ministry of Jesus for the second time, which they have not seen this yet. They will be seeing all of that manifested in human flesh in a man of this time. That is the mystery of the coming of the Son of Man with His angels for this end time. That is why they may be seeing that interlace. And by that time, they already identify that character because they may have seen him at some point. But to say this is him, that hasn't happened yet. That is why when they realize it, well, we know him. What is he doing over there? Well, he was in such and such an activity or in such and such forum or here or there. What is he doing over there? Well, this is the one we're waiting for. Notice, then the knowledge of who he is will be there. They will be seeing him as Joseph's brother saw him among the Gentiles. And first notice, Joseph dealt with them, and they saw each other. But they did not identify him until he revealed himself to them. And that is how it is in this end time. Notice, in the time of Brother Branham, several rabbis may have seen him, as we know. They met him. But he did not reveal himself to them. In the time of our brother William, also, he went a little further, see? He prepared all that way. And everything that was carried out through that ministry, notice, was opening up the way for this end time. And he was there and spoke with them and everything. But they did not identify him, and he did not reveal to themselves as well, as the fulfillment of what they were waiting for. But at this end time, notice, he already had that relation with them. And at this time, they will indeed recognize him. And at this time, he will indeed reveal himself to them in his final manifestation. The proclamation of the great voice of the trumpet. Let us stand and thus leave with us in this subject the proclamation of the great voice of the trumpet, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.